And now, Two Guys and a Grill, the barbecue show with Stunt and Jake.
It's the barbecue show with Stunt and Jake. Good day and welcome. Stunt, how are you?
I'm good.
Outstanding.
Nice little break from the rain, perhaps, for a few days, and back into it.
Well, it's how it goes. Big plans for this weekend, this week?
I have a brisket that I'm going to smoke, just a brisket flat, but okay. I'm excited to do that this weekend and see what else comes up.
That's funny you say that, because I was just contemplating about an hour ago, do I want to do a brisket on Sunday, or do I want to do something different? And I don't know. I'm still torn.
I should probably do ribs. I want to do some more ribs before we our next competition in June, so.
Yeah, maybe I should do a bunch of chicken.
We should practice once in a while.
It's probably a good idea, but I'll probably do the brisket. I don't know how early I want to get up.
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of it.
There's that. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, I'm very excited for today's show, and we're so glad you're joining us to be a part of it, because if you aren't aware, May is beef month.
That's right.
And we love our beef. See, now I have to do a brisket.
Well, you might as well.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly Schmidt from the Minnesota Beef Council is going to be coming in today. So I'm super excited to talk to him and learn about what the Beef Council all does.
And I do think, you know, between you and me, we don't have to spread this around, but you know, we've had the pork gal on twice, only once with the beef. I think we gotta give even fair love to the beef.
Yeah, got to get him in here a few more times.
I love me some good cow.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to hear what he's all got to say and learn a little bit more about the beef industry, too, in Minnesota. So, because I got some questions.
I mean, there's plenty of pigs, too, but I mean, either way, I'm happy either way.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like Minnesota is more of a pig state. So what's it look like in the beef industry?
Oh, you said beef. That's why I was confused. I was trying to defend the pig there.
Oh.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. If it's got four legs and it's tasty.
Yep.
We like it.
There you go.
Yes, I should get a beef freezer and a pork freezer. And then another one for frozen pizzas. Put them out in the beer garage.
That might be the most genius idea you've ever had.
Put them out in the garage by the beer.
Oh, we got a lot of freezers out here. What's all in them? Well, beef, pork, and frozen pizza. That's it? Yep.
So what have you been up to? You been doing anything different? Or it seems like we've been on the run a lot lately.
I was just going to say, I feel like I've been just on the run. So I'm excited. Sunday, nothing's on the books. It's actually, you know what you do on Sunday? You should make some sort of made barbacoa or something like that. Let's make some taco meat, but not just hamburger.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to do stir fry.
Cinco de Mayo.
I was going to do stir fry. Can't I do both?
You do everything.
You know what I was craving the other day? I talked about it on the radio. I was craving a perfectly grilled steak with a side of ribs.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I think that sounds
good. Why do they have surf and turf, but they don't have turf and turf? I mean, come on.
Right. You could have steak and pork ribs. So you'd have like oink moo.
Yeah. That
moo oink.
Makes sense.
Like the place in Duluth. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, it's oink moo and cluck.
That's right. Yeah. Oink moo cluck or something like that.
Yeah, OMC.
And then they should finish it with a
swallow.
That was the beer.
Oh, it was beer. Oh, my bad. I thought it was food. My bad.
I don't know what the hell we're throwing anymore. Kelly Schmidt with the Minnesota Beef Council is our guest when we return on The Barbecue Show.
Stick around for more of The Barbecue Show right after this. Back to The Barbecue Show with Stunt and Jake.
Welcome back to The Barbecue Show with Stunt and Jake. And Stunt, it's guest time. And you know how I love when we have guests, especially when they talk about beef.
Yeah? Yeah, anything food, to be honest with you. I'm trying to make it special.
Exactly. Kelly Schmidt is here with us with the Minnesota Beef Council. And look at that beautiful beef he broke.
Oh.
He didn't break.
I wondered about that on the drive over. I'm like, I should have brought something.
That's okay. Don't let him fool you. Yeah. You're not required to bring anything.
No. I mean, it's like tipping. It's not required.
But it's kind of, I know.
I don't think you're allowed to talk about tipping around cows, actually.
Oh.
Whoa.
Nice.
The big brain on Brad. Love it. At any rate, in all seriousness, Kelly, welcome and thanks for joining us on the barbecue show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to visit with you guys.
Yeah. So, all right, let's start at the beginning and let's talk about what exactly is the Minnesota Beef Council? What do they do?
Yeah. So the Minnesota Beef Council, we are a checkoff funded organization that works on behalf of the farmers and ranchers in Minnesota to basically grow demand for beef on their behalf.
Okay.
And so it is a mandatory program that is overseen by the USDA and the Minnesota Department of Ag. So all farmers pay in a dollar a head every time they market something.
Okay.
And that's what funds our office. And then our job is to use those dollars that get collected. And then we work hard to just reach out to consumers and just, like I said, all the things that come into growing beef demand.
You bolster beef.
Bolster beef.
Yeah, that's
and that's
do.
What we do. And,
I like
and,
it.
And we're overseeing, and we have a board of directors made up of farmers and ranchers. I like to say our staff executes the wishes of the board,
oh, okay.
And it's made up of people with skin in the game.
Now, I want to ask one question, because I don't think, or I hope anyway, I'm not the only guy who's wondering this. Without getting us too far off topic, break mm-hmm. down what checkoff means. Is that
yep.
just means an animal that's sold?
Yes.
Basically like checking it off a list?
So all of our ag commodities in Minnesota have checkoffs. Corn does, soybeans does, dairy does. They all have it. And the idea is anytime something is marketed of that commodity,
okay.
a portion is retained for the purposes of growing demand for that product.
Okay. So.
Yep. So corn, like I said, corn has it, beans has it, so does beef. And ours happens to be a buck ahead.
Okay.
Pork's is structured a little differently. Theirs is based on the market value per pound and so on. Milk, same way. But we all have it. And so like a lot of checkoffs have created some really great marketing things. Like Got Milk came from a checkoff campaign, if you remember that old.
Yeah.
You know, and so beef, it's what's for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
The big, you know, people still think of Sam Elliott and the old voice from the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
All
right.
Checkoff created.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool. I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously with our radio station and a lot of the stations we're on, I can only assume they have some sort of farm programming, you know,
mm-hmm.
And you hear that all the time. You know, they check off this and check off.
How many beef farmers are there in Minnesota?
So there are
called ranchers, I believe.
Farmers,
ranchers, both. We call them both. There are over 16,000 farmers.
Okay.
And that's from some people with literally one or two cows all the way to some larger herds that have a lot.
So all that said and done, Kelly, what does your day look like? What do you do as the, you know, I guess I never asked, what is your official title?
Executive director of the council. So there's a staff.
Head honcho, we call it.
Sure.
Head honcho.
Sure.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
So there's a staff of five of us.
Okay.
Okay. And so every day is a little bit different, but we have, you know, every day it could be, there's consumer events going on. We have constant all the time digital marketing that we're doing. There's, you know, lots of different activities that could be happening in terms of just education, consumer education,
mm-hmm.
different meetings we're doing. We try to do any kind of media we can, both like paid media and media like this is always good. Just trying to create relationships and be out there. And that helps, you know, reach people. So they kind of know what's going on with what we're doing. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, activities, and every day is a little bit different, you know?
Right.
But our key is who we're trying to reach and get in front of is those people that are making those food decisions, you know, and that's where, you know, what you guys talk about on this show is so great, because it's really popular. We know amongst people that really like to, you know, have that eating experience at home and are doing, you know, are playing around and are experimenting and using beef on a smoker or trying a new dish, trying a new cut. So big thing of what we do is just making people confident with cuts and,
mm-hmm.
and what they're selecting. And, hey, I've never tried that, but I want to. A lot of times they maybe are afraid to because of the cost of some of these cuts, and I don't want to screw it up. We hear that a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
we talk to people from time to time who talk about, so how do you do your briskets? Because mm-hmm. I saw what they cost, and I'm not going to do that and mess it up. And
right.
It's a completely understandable thing. You drop $70 on a brisket, you don't want to have some leather at home afterwards.
Absolutely. And we get the same thing on prime ribs at the holiday. People want to try it, but it's going to be more costly than some others. And they're like, I don't want to, you know, mess it up. So we try to make sure we're putting education out there so they realize, oh, yeah, I can do this.
Well, and just you know? Speak of the different cuts. I mean, how many are there? You go to the meat counter.
Four.
You may have four favorites. But.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's more than four.
A lot more than four.
Many different varieties there are, different cuts, and what they can be used for. I mean,
yes.
I've been buying a lot of, what is it? No, I can't even think what I bought. The center cuts for... beef jerky.
Sure.
Yep. Top round. That's what it was.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so I've been doing that lately. And so, I mean, people, what do you know? What other thought? Pot roast is always something people mm-hmm. talk about, but there's so many other things you can cook with different things.
That's what we're doing. You know, we're always, especially now, you know, the beef prices are good right now, and mm-hmm. it's reflected at the retail. Okay.
Yeah.
They are high as they've ever been. So we watch that too, right? And we know that, okay, there might be some that look at the cost of a steak relative to some other protein choices. choices, whether it's a chicken breast or a pork chop or whatever. We want them to, you know, obviously still prefer and be choosing beef. So if they're money conscious, let's look at some other cuts. And we often look at cuts from the chuck, which could be like a petite tender or a flat iron. Great cuts that they maybe never tried. They're like, wait, what are these? If you throw one of those on the grill and work with one of those, it's going to be like I would say it can be a very similar to a sirloin or something they're more used to, and it's a little more cost affordable. So we're always trying to decide and look at what are people looking at, what are the trends, and then match our resources to what those people are wanting.
What do you think? I mean, and I'm assuming you track this type of information, but your excuse me, your marketing and your targeting of, say, mom and pop, you know, weekend warrior grilling, doing dinner versus like the commercial industry. Because I would imagine like a restaurant, hotel, you know, bigger fine dining, that sort of thing has to be a market for you as well.
Oh, for sure. And we're doing kind of all of that. So, so you know, I'll very simply say something we do annually is we do invest in some consumer research because we got to know what the consumer's up to. We can't just say it, sit there and guess. So we actually participate in doing surveys and knowing what they're looking at and how their behavior's going. So that's a big behavioral kind of thing. Yeah. And so we try to garner that and look at trends and look at what they're saying. You hit the nail on the head. We're trying to target that consumer that is, you know, of that millennial to the next generation, this next younger Gen Z that are now making food choices because we found that age group are ones that are easy to influence others. Mm-hmm. Okay, they are really good with technology. They use their smartphones. We all do, but that age group especially. And so that's how we put our information out there.
Right.
You know, so when they're out there searching for recipes and they do keyword searches, just like we all do on our phones, right? Sometimes you're looking for something and then you start seeing.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing with beef. If you're looking for a beef idea or recipe, all of a sudden, hey, there we are with some ideas to go with it.
Well,
now,
sense.
To the other part of your question, retail and food service is a big part. We want to make sure that we're supporting them and what they're seeing, you know, in the restaurants and in all the other places that, you know, are buying beef. So we're always watching that as well to know kind of where it's at. And so we can match all the things we need, you know, for those groups' demands.
I want to ask you about something, but I don't want to be that guy.
Here you go.
I know. But I feel like it would be almost irresponsible not to bring it up. So when a thing like a mad cow happens, what does that do to you guys? And I imagine it just rocks your whole world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite honestly, it rocks everybody's world because, you know, beef prices go crazy. The ranchers have problems. People like me who eat steak almost every Sunday religiously. That's got to be a big deal.
It's a huge deal. And so I'm glad you brought it up. Because I was just starting my career back when the BSE, the Mad Cow, happened, 2003. It happened December 22nd or 3rd. We called it the cow that stole Christmas,
right,
for beef farmers, because it was devastating.
Right.
What that did, especially on something like that, is that crushed the ability to export. And that's huge. We as a U.S. agricultural industry and a lot of our different commodities, corn, soybeans, pork, and beef, we rely on exporting our products to other countries. We're good at raising it. We meet our domestic demand and we have more. So we got to ship it out to add value to these animals. So when you shut off exports, hugely detrimental to the market.
Yeah.
Like overnight, you watch the market shift. If those countries say we're concerned about that disease, and that's what happened with BSE, the global market said we are no longer importing U.S. beef. That was huge.
Yeah.
And then it takes a long time to build that confidence back, right?
Right.
And so I guess my point with that is, to answer your question, what we're doing all the time too with what we're doing at our office is making sure that we're not just saying that we have farmers and ranchers that raise a safe, healthy, abundant product that's been raised properly and humanely. We back it up.
Right.
We actually have proof in it. We invest in it. We have something we call the Beef Quality Assurance Program that is funded through our office. And that's farmers not enrolling in a program and saying, hey, we're going to do the right thing and we're actually going to be certified that we're raising this animal in the right way so we can provide that safe supply of beef, you know, out there.
No, it makes sense.
It's a great question. And those every industry, if they're honest with you, will tell you they're always concerned about that next animal health outbreak because it can be devastating. And first and foremost, immediately is when those exports shut off, it rocks the market.
Right.
And when the market gets rocked, the immediate profitability for the farmers is in jeopardy.
Yeah, that's and I see a lot with it's similar but different. Like with my father, you know, my in-laws are farmers, mm-hmm. and so if storms wipe out part of Illinois and southern Iowa, you know, mm-hmm. we know our corn prices are going up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like you don't want to celebrate their loss, but at the same time, it's that demand. So I would imagine.
Well, and if I can add to that, you know, yeah. right now beef prices are high and the cattle market is good. If we're being honest about that, when the market is high and good, it means cattle numbers are low. And when cattle numbers are low, it means somebody in our industry probably suffered. And in those cases, it was drought.
Right.
In drought parts of the country, we still need land. We're a little different than a lot of the other animal industries. We need the big pastures and land mm-hmm. to raise the food mm-hmm. sources for our beef. So when there's big drought areas, they have no choice but to liquidate right. those cows, send them to market because they can't feed them anymore.
Sure.
So when the numbers are down and demand stays high, which is what our office is trying to do, prices go up.
Yeah, if you've ever gone hunting in like Wyoming or Montana, and you don't get off the roads,
yeah.
you don't drive around in the fields because they're yeah. so protective of that grazing ability.
They're grazing, exactly.
Yeah. 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 Makes sense. Mm-hmm. What's the future for beef? I'm going to lean you towards Wagyu to start, but because that's a big change for a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that's kind of been the new craze for a lot of people wanting to cook with. Mm-hmm. What's the next thing?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, and you're exactly right. The Wagyu thing is really been the big change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially, we look at different categories of kind of consumers, and so some of our big demand drivers that we study in that consumer research, we have kind of the taste and eating experience driver, and then we have like the value driver. Okay. And consumers can have a little of both, but they're different behaviors, right? The taste and eating experience, those are the people that just say, that beef tastes good, I want it on my plate. Simply.
Right. Right.
And that's where barbecue and that world fits. Those are the people that are willing to spend a little of their dollars, even though they know it's kind of expensive. But I'm gonna go ahead and buy that Wagyu steak because, man, it's like none other.
Right.
You know, it's a new experience that I'm willing to do and try. So I think that's fantastic. I think
right.
it's great. I think that the home grilling, home barbecuing is a huge really benefit to our protein, and where it can fit is right in that taste and eating experience category. So that's why we're always trying to stay on top of that. We participate in consumer events that focus on some of the grilling and barbecue. We make sure we're putting our different assets out there in terms of our social media, digital, and what we invest in that same area. And Wagyu is part of it. And so what's the next thing I see? I don't know. I can't say that there's, you know, going to be something that replaces that, but I think that's always going to be a really high important category to our demand delivery approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that high end cut of beef.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm kind of curious, and maybe this is an unfair question, but I wonder if part of the Wagyu craze, if you will, and the popularity of it, I wonder if some of it is similar to the pellet grill thing. And what I mean by that is not only is the flavor is obviously super enhanced because, mm-hmm. you know, you've got all those different fat layers, and everybody mm-hmm. knows fat equals flavor.
Yes, for sure.
But what I wonder is that because when it comes to beef, you can really hammer a steak by accident and it gets dry and it gets tough.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to overcook a Wagyu steak and notice it because of all of the moisture content because of the fat in there.
I think it's a great point. Yeah.
Do you think that's part of the popularity?
A little more foolproof?
Yeah. Like it's harder to screw up.
I do. And what they did good in the first place, you know, is kind of like it was a newer product and they did a nice job of really, just making a word that was new and it meant high, you know, high level,
right,
it
right.
meant high quality, it meant lots of fat in there. And I think your point is exactly right. If you go and you pick a leaner cut and you throw it on the grill and you forget about it or get distracted and you overcook it, you're not going to enjoy what you just ate.
Right.
You're going to say, why did I do that? You know, I will say, you know, and you guys get this, but I tell consumers a lot. We see a lot of consumers at different events. Take our state fair. We're there for all 12 days with a booth. We get a lot of questions. And I remind them that as long as you're selecting good USDA choice or even better prime beef
mm-hmm.
or Wagyu, and you prepare it correctly, you're going to have a great taste and eating experience. We know that. We know how those grades work. It's going to have that. You can't have a USDA choice or prime grade without having that flavor, mm-hmm. that marbling in that meat. If it's not, you're down at select. Yeah. You know, and that adds to it. It adds to that juiciness. It adds to the tenderness. It adds to that experience. So we remind them of that. If you're not picking choice, if you're not paying attention a little bit, you're probably not going to enjoy it as much.
Right. There's a, you know, there's a reason that thing has a sticker on it that says manager special. You know, I mean, look out
well,
for those.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and we talk about that a lot on the barbecue show because we're not what we always like to say, we're not label conscious. Like you buy whatever brand grill works for you.
Yeah.
You know, the design, the style, whatever. You use what you want to use. But the one place, the two areas that you never blow it is you don't go, you got to buy name brand ketchup. Everybody knows that. That's just like life. You got to know that. If you don't know that, you got to call your dad and chew him out. The other one is that if you buy a better cut of meat, whatever it is that cut is, your room for error is much greater. Because if you, and you really hit it on the head, if you're going with select and you overcook it, even just a half step, you wanted it medium rare and you got it medium instead, you're going to notice that difference. If you have a good cut of meat and you missed medium rare and ended up with medium, you're still going to have tenderness. You're still going to have flavor. You're not going to go, your wife's not going to make you sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Which is unpleasant.
No, for sure. And one thing I hadn't said, and shame on me, my board would be upset with me. You know, one thing we do too, real quick, is the other thing the checkoff does and our council does, we invest in research also. So for instance, we have invested in a flavor study of beef because we know it's going to continue to be important. And so we're looking at those flavor factors and it's really neat research that universities are done that we've invested in. And they're just trying to make sure that those cuts continue to have the right flavor. And what is it? Is it the right amount of fat? What about tenderness? All those things combined. And so we're always trying to invest in that research to know more because then that's going to equip us to, you know, help continue to, you know, understand what kind of beef we need to be putting out there that these people want.
Right. So
the more information you have, the better it is.
Exactly.
Weird. I don't remember getting a call about that study at all.
We were not on the list.
Nobody even called.
Before we go, I know we're getting close on time, but what's your favorite cut, and what do you like to cook on at home?
Okay.
I always love asking those questions.
Yeah, I know. I love that question. So I'm going to say, I'm going to say my favorite cut, if I had to ask, is a ribeye. I'm a ribeye guy. I am. That is my favorite. Now, an honorable mention. I love, and I'll say this on the show. I got no problem. If it comes on something off the smoker, I know tons of people love brisket. They love their different things. Smoked tri-tip is like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a smoked tri-tip. I tell as many people as I can, give that a try. It's from the same muscle area. It's similar to the sirloin. Sirloin's kind of underappreciated sometimes just for flavor. Anyway, I had to throw that in as an honorable mention.
Well, we have a friend of the show, the other Jake, who I think he tri-tips at least once a week.
Yes.
So you're not alone in that.
It's a great cut. You slice it up. I know sometimes people see it. They're like, what do I do with this thing? But find easy recipes, throw it on a smoker, pellet grill. That's my favorite. It's great for sandwiches. You can chunk it up like a steak, whatever. Yeah. I love it. Okay, what I cook it with at home, I do. The last time I needed to buy a grill because my old one wore out, I really went back and forth on the getting a pellet grill or not. I'll tell you, I have three daughters. At that time, they were very young, and we're a family that's on the run. So I did buy a Weber. I grill on a Weber. And it was all because of I often am like throwing something on the grill, but we got to run to softball or the other next activity. And there's a little extra time needed in a pellet grill, I think, to do it right.
Yeah.
I know they can cook quickly. My brother's got one. He loves his.
I think they're easy to make ovens for adults. Don't talk to me. He's the pellet
grill. Okay, all right. But I do have a Weber. I'll just say that. And that's
Weber kettle? Are we talking charcoal?
No, four burner. Okay. But I will say this. I'm going to throw this on the Weber. Every Thanksgiving, and this happened in COVID when we were all kind of told, let's not get together, or should we or shouldn't we?
We got together.
I know. But my family were like, okay, we're going to keep this smaller. And I said, well, we'll still do a little turkey, but I started doing the rotisserie on the Weber.
Nice.
They had the kit, and I do a rotisserie prime rib. And now it's a tradition.
That's kind of cool.
Rotisserie prime rib. I love that. I sit there with my beverage Thanksgiving morning. I'm out on the deck. I watch it spin.
I'll see you
at lunchtime, and it's always devoured. So that sounds my favorite on the Weber is the rotisserie prime rib.
That sounds really good.
It is a state law in Minnesota that you're not allowed to operate a grill without a beverage.
That's the way my family will tell you, I agree with that.
Yes.
And I abide. I abide.
See, good law abiding folk over here. Love it. Kelly Schmidt's our guest today for the Minnesota Beef Council. Head honcho.
Yes.
That's what we came up with for your name tag.
Head honcho.
Head honcho on your business cards. It works out really well. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for the time and coming in. Expect a call because we'd love to have you back again.
Yeah, no, I'd love to talk to you guys anytime. Thanks for what you do. I mean, really, this kind of stuff is excitement in protein, excitement in beef, right? We want beef first, but people eating meat and enjoying it, that's what it's all about. And that's what our council is all behind. And this has been fun.
Yeah, well, we can't thank you enough because it's just kind of what we live for also.
It is. And you made it real easy today, too. You got plenty of information. Learning about it.
I'm pretty chatty. Sometimes it's like, all right, move on.
But well, no, I love beef. Good. Yep. The good part is you've got us thinking now about all different types of beef because I get hung up on the same cut. So now I'm kind of already imagining in my head, Stunt, how I'm going to try some different cuts and experiment and have fun.
Let's go fire that thing up.
The Barbecue Show. Hashtag. With Stunt and Jake. Hashtag. Like and follow us on Instagram and Facebook.